KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, it's mostly clear and 29 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be sunny here today, a high of 48. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. The Cass County Sheriff's Office yesterday reported that three arrests were made over the past week. Last Tuesday, 54-year-old Timothy Dale Meyer of Messina was arrested on a probation violation charge. Meyer was brought to the Cass County Jail and held on a $5,000 bond. On Wednesday, December 5th, 28-year-old Laura Lynn Madden of Atlantic turned herself into the Cass County Jail on a sheriff's office warrant for aiding and abetting. Regarding violation of a no-contact order, she pled guilty and was released the next day. And over the weekend on Saturday, Cass County Sheriff's deputies arrested 22-year-old Clayton Verrill Schmidt of Messina on a charge of OWI first offense. Schmidt was taken to the Cass County Jail and released on his own recognizance that same day. News time is 8:02.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The Cass County Board of Supervisors this morning will hear a report on area tourism. The report during their meeting at 9 a.m. comes from Kenner Baxter with the Western Iowa Tourism Council, Region 1. In other business, the board will hold the first of two hearings on removing parcels from the Amazing Energy TIF District. The second hearing will take place next Wednesday, December 19th. They'll also act on approving an amendment to Ordinance 28, which is the division of taxes levied on taxable property in the Amazing Energy Urban Renewal Area, after the first public hearing is held and prior to the announcement regarding the second public hearing. The Cass County Board of Supervisors meeting takes place at their boardroom at the courthouse here in Atlantic. The Shelby County Board of Supervisors approved an increase to public health dollars to Murtu Medical Center. In a Board of Supervisors meeting held Tuesday morning, CEO of Murtu Medical, Barry Jacobson, approached the board to discuss the recently requested increase by Public Health Director Jennifer Mulf. Jacobson said for the past 18 years, the county has been contracted with the hospital to provide public health services. He told the board the contract amount beginning in 1994 hasn't matched the expenses for the program.
The fee that we've received for the services that we provided started out at $35,000 in 1994. It increased to $45,000 somewhere along the line. And then I think last year, or maybe 2 years ago, it went up to $57,500. Problem is that contracted amount hasn't really come anywhere close to keeping up with the cost of running that program. In fact, the hospital, and I think you have this in front of you, our financial reports for the public health department. In 2011, we lost $179,536. This last year, 2012, we lost $125,000, and that's after the subsidy we've received the subsidy from the County Board of Supervisors.
Jacobson went on to say that the past increases were inadequate.
We think that it needs to go up significantly from where we're at right now. We don't think that the increases in the past have been adequate. And so, basically, we're offering to continue to provide this service through the 2013-2014 year for the $100,000 that was requested at one of the previous meetings.
After more discussion, Supervisor Burmeister made the motion for a three-year, $100,000 annual base going to Murtu Hospital for public health services. With a new agreement, Murtu will still have to pay a substantial amount in subsidized money to pay for the services. Jacobson said the Murtu Board of Trustees will review the actions at their next meeting. If the hospital and supervisors were unable to make some sort of an agreement, the county would have had to provide the services to the 10,000 people who are receiving public health services in Shelby County. The Atlantic School Board on Monday heard a report from High School Assistant Principal and Activities Director Josh Rasmussen with regard to the condition of the district's athletic facilities. Rasmussen showed the board pictures of conditions at the Trojan Bowl, the baseball and softball field, the middle school and Schuler gyms, the middle school practice field, and the wrestling multipurpose room. Superintendent Dr. Michael Amstein asked Rasmussen to take pictures of the areas the district administrators and others had noticed are in need of repair or renovation. Rasmussen said at the Trojan Bowl, some of the issues brought up include no restrooms for visitors except those portable-style facilities, and the need to expand current restrooms, the need for a bigger concession stand away from the exit and entrance, the need for additional storage space, and no handicapped accessibility to the bleachers.
Just the overall management, when we're talking about middle school students and having them in the north end zone and not really having their own section or their own set of bleachers, keeping people off the field, the fencing around the track, that's a management thing. I'm always telling kids to get up off the side hills and off the hill there. Space, whether it's the visiting side, trying to come over to our side to get to the concessions and restroom, it's just there's a space issue there.
And Rasmussen talked about the baseball and softball fields more specifically.
Baseball, softball kind of go hand in hand here. Whether it's ticket booths, the field's not level. The handicap accessibility is one that really needs to be addressed.
The school board agreed the next step would be to make requests for proposals so experts can come in and offer an assessment of the situation, offer solutions to any problems, real or perceived, with the athletic facilities, and what the costs might be to fix those problems. In other news, local talent will take to the stage at the Elks Lodge in Atlantic on December 22nd for an evening of free big band music and dancing. The third annual holiday ball features Popcorn Button, a 16-piece swing band, performing a large range of hits from the big band era. The group will also perform a set of traditional holiday favorites rearranged in the big band format. The Popcorn Button includes student and alumni musicians from Iowa State University, the U of I, the Atlantic High School, and the Atlantic community itself. And Jake and Pam Arrock will be back in action on the dance floor, helping you learn how to dance the waltz, swing, polka, and two-step. Dancers of any level and experience are welcome and encouraged to attend, and the couple will be available throughout the evening to help you get started while the music continues. Even Santa Claus has taken time out of his busy schedule to make an appearance with Popcorn Button. Now, an optional free will donation will be taken at the door on December 22nd to cover the band's expenses, with all excess proceeds going to the Atlantic Food Pantry. And again, the Holiday Ball is a free public event, and all ages and dancing abilities are invited to attend from 7 until 10 p.m. on Saturday, December 22nd at the Atlantic's Elks Lodge. Elsewhere in state news, the annual survey from Iowa State University shows farmland values increased almost 24% over last year to a new record high of an average cost of $8,296 an acre. ISU economist Mike Duffy compiled the numbers from the survey.
Basically, what we found was higher quality ground moving at a pretty good level and lower quality ground not increasing so much. Example would be Northwest Iowa was up almost 34%. Whereas Southeast Iowa was only up 9%.
Duffy says record corn and bean prices are part of the reason for the increase.
The commodity prices were a primary driver. Another driver was the very low interest rates that we have. People also said the lack of alternative investments was another reason.
The faster increase in the price of better quality ground goes hand-in-hand with the amount of money to be made, the higher commodity prices, according to Duffy, who says the supply and amount of corn and soybeans that are grown will make an impact on the land prices moving ahead. Now, here in Cass County, the value of ag land increased about $1,426 over last year to $7,984 an acre. In Audubon County, the land increased just $25 shy of $2,000 per acre to $9,215. In Adair County, land prices increased a little more than $1,100 to $6,425 an acre, $6,425. The report marks the highest state land value recorded by the survey and the first time the county averages have reached over $10,000 an acre. O'Brien County had an estimated $12,862 an average value, the highest average county value in the state. They also had the highest percentage increase and highest dollar increase in value, 35.2%. and $3,348, respectively. The 23.7% increase marks the third straight year the land values have increased by 15% or more. You can take a look at the individual county land values by going to the same story under our website on KJAN.com and clicking on the news tab and looking for the graph, which you can click on and it'll pop up for you. Taking a look now at world headlines, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi said a deal between Democrats and Republicans to avoid a fiscal cliff is more likely if both sides don't try to overreach on spending cuts. Pelosi tells CBS's This Morning program that Congress and the White House need to agree on a provisional plan for taxes and spending. She says Republicans are pushing too hard on a Medicare overhaul, but Democrats want to make sure that senior citizens aren't harmed. U.S. stock futures are edging higher as investors wait for news on whether the Fed Reserve will announce a new stimulus plan today to boost the U.S. economy. The Fed is expected to announce a new bond-buying program to replace one that's about to expire. Regulators have launched three rounds of quantitative easing since the financial crisis hit in 2008. I'll have a check of the funeral announcements coming up next.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Oneida, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And in our funeral announcements this morning, Bernadine Bauer, age 86, of rural Bridgewater, died last Wednesday at her daughter's home. Funeral services for Bernadine Bauer will be held today at 10 o'clock at the Cumberland Community Center. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has the arrangements. Robert Francis Carter, age 82, of Carson, died Monday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Robert Carter will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Henderson Christian Church. Reconvieth Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Harvey Sandhorst, age 70, of Atlantic, died Monday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Services for Harvey Sandhorst will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. James Jim McCallan, age 43, of Ashland, Oregon, died December 4th. Funeral services for Jim McCallan will be held tomorrow at 7 p.m. at the Pauley Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Marilyn Busey, age 57, a lifelong Cass County resident, died Friday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Marilyn Busey will be held this Saturday at 10:30 at First Evangelical Lutheran Church in Wyota. Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic has the arrangements. Stephen Hess, age 68, of Earlham, died Tuesday at the Taylor Hospice House in Des Moines. Funeral services for Stephen Hess will be on Saturday at 10:30 at the First Presbyterian Church in Earlham. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham has arrangements. Maxine Blunk, age 87, of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Heritage House. Memorial services for Maxine Blunk will be held at a later date. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. Fred Nielsen, age 80, of Menlo, died Monday at Panora Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Fred Nielsen will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Zion Lutheran Church in Dexter. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. And Robert Bob Arbach, age 94, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Bob Arbach are currently pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Our news was brought to you by First National Bank with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Correctionville, and Oneida. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.